campus
and online.
This
is URN.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of The Pulse. I'm joined today by Daniel, Mark and Callum. We've got a great selection of stories today. We're going to start with a story about the online safety bill. So the controversial measures which would have forced big tech platforms to take down legal but harmful material has been axed from the online safety bill. Critics of the section in the bill claim it posed a risk to free speech. The Culture Secretary, Michelle Donnellan, denied this, saying that adults would have... she denied weakening laws protecting social media users and said adults would have more control over what they saw online. The bill, which aims to police the internet, is intended to become law in the UK before next summer, but some have criticised the latest changes, including Labour and the Samaritans, who called it a hugely backward step. So what do you guys think? Do you think that these changes are a step backwards?
Certainly. I think it was always going to be... I mean, granted, I think there were rules that would always be quite difficult to implement and enforce properly, because... on paper, I think with social media spaces, there was always the bit of what rules they're meant to enforce. Because on one hand, you can say that they're a private company and do what they want to, really. But alternatively, you could say there's so many people on there with so many opinions that it pretty much counts as a public space now. Before this government, there was quite a lot of I think mixed opinions about this. I think it was a policy that Nadine Dorris was really semi for this, semi against it, especially on the free speech side of things, as these kind of conservative MPs quite often are. I think it's interesting, and especially considering when all of this stuff is happening. So of course you had sort of the big news story from a few weeks ago about the campaign from Molly Russell's parents, but equally you've got sort of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, which we discussed last week. I think a few months ago it could have been fair to say that we were kind of turning a corner into really holding some of big tech more accountable than before, but this is, I think, definitely a step back. But equally, I think with some of the kind of Molly Russell stuff, that I don't think getting rid of some of this harmful content necessarily fixes the problems that a lot of people think that it does, especially in the realms of mental health and things. Getting rid of posts with kind of triggering topics like Molly Russell's exposed to doesn't necessarily stop people being affected by them. It just means that they've still got nowhere to find help. Mental health provision is still pretty poor on that. But I'm not really sure, really. It was always a complicated issue, and I guess they've just decided that it's not a route that, as policy-wise, they really want to push or go down currently.
Yeah, I mean, do any of you guys have any additional thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with Mark in terms that it is quite a complicated issue, but I don't think the fact it's a complicated issue is helped by we had in the article, you see Kemi Badenoch saying that it would be legislating for hurt feelings, which in the sort of context of why this bill has come to sort of the public attention recently with the Molly Russell case seems... Well, it seems slightly inappropriate, isn't it? Yeah. And you just hope that this sort of legislation, there are legitimate reasons why perhaps, it should be left down to the user to decide, or like parents of these children to decide if they want to enable their kids to see this content. So maybe you hope the bill has been introduced in that regard, rather than just sort of as a, another element of the free speech and sort of another element of the culture wars. Is what you'd hope, I think. It's interesting in the article where it sort of says, obviously the focus has been on stuff being removed or legislation being removed from the bill, but at current, with these changes, it essentially says that the onus is now going to be on the platforms to remove all illegal content, remove material that violates their terms and conditions, and gives users control to help them avoid certain types of content to be specified by the bill. So I don't know, it does seem to be very much putting the onus on the social media companies rather than the actual government in legislating, which I guess is probably synonymous of, you imagine the government have some relationship with these companies, but we've seen, as we discussed last week with the takeover of Twitter, that maybe it's in the government's best interest to police or try to protect their like children, their population, rather than these companies who are obviously driven by profit. So, yeah, I guess that's what I'd say on that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that, Callum. And I think what the watering down of this bill reflects is where the government's priorities on addressing mental health actually lie. And I think it's arguable about what the actual impact of this bill would have been, but I think it's sort of, there's a deeper problem here, and that is that there is not enough discussion and investment into like mental health preventatives for people in younger age groups or just across society in general. And the government has consistently failed to adequately address this over the last 12 plus years, really. So I think this is just the final nail in the coffin, if you want, for the government's mental health strategy. But I do think if we're talking about the sort of benefits versus the costs of this bill, then I think this was potentially the wrong way to address mental health problems, because I think it's sort of to do with the fact that most platforms already do have quite strict content moderation in place. It's just about their ability to actually enforce these things. And yeah, you were both saying about Twitter and Elon Musk, which is definitely a problem, but the sort of the general population does tend to react quite badly when platforms step out of line, if you will. Like, advertisers are pulling out of Twitter en masse right now. The company's looking like it might within a year be bankrupt. So I don't think people want completely like Wild West platforms where there's all sorts of harmful content. But I think there's a risk associated with some of what the initial proposal was, which is that not just for free speech, but also I think more importantly for privacy, because some of the suggestions we had for implementing this involved things like forcing all users of platforms to like verify their identity to be a member, which, I mean, there are some benefits to that. It does make it easier to crack down on like cyberbullying and that the sorts of content we don't want to be promoting. But it also sort of ties into the wider issues of, you know, users' right to have their data private and to be forgotten and not have profiles kept on them by these huge companies, mm-hmm. which we've seen these being used or misused, I should say, before with the Facebook and Cambridge Analytica scandals. There's a real concern about companies collecting more of this sort of data on their users and it being used for the wrong purposes. So I wonder if any of you guys have any thoughts on that and whether this actually ties into the debate. So it's not just about free speech, but also about privacy.
Thank you. I feel like the issue as a whole is that, like, when you have social media companies and they're using these algorithms to tailor what they show people, their kind of defense when it comes to things that are kind of illegal or that cause mental health issues is, oh, we're a platform, like, we can't moderate every single thing, you know. It's kind of the village square kind of argument that Elon Musk uses, like, you know, you should be able to say whatever you want and, like, as long as it's not illegal or whatever. But when they have these algorithms, they are choosing to promote certain things and not other things. And then they're also choosing, like, for example, Twitter. Some people have been forced off Twitter. So clearly that is moderation of some type. And in my view, that makes these not platforms, but publishers. You know, they are publishing content and therefore in some way they are responsible for that content because they are choosing to economically benefit from it and tailor that content to each user.
Yeah, I think in a legal sense, they'd only be considered a publisher if there was always human in the loop from it's like with YouTube and its content policy. I remember seeing about how you're fine if you allow people to put content up and then have moderation policies to take it down after the fact. But if you're, it's only when you're manually going through each thing before it's put up that it's considered a publisher, at which point it's like you're like open to loads and loads of legal challenges.
Yeah.
Because you can look through anything and be like, does the company endorse this thing or that thing or the other? I think the point about privacy is certainly an interesting one, especially regarding anonymization, because it seems that that was... In many people, I think many people seem to think it was a good idea, especially last year when it was. I think there was a big petition online about a Parliament petition for it, and certainly I think that something like that is definitely counterproductive, because not only does it discriminate against a whole host of protected characteristics and such. For instance, transgender people who haven't legally changed their name yet, but also victims of abuse and whistleblowers. And also the fact that a lot of people didn't seem to realise that a lot of the most harmful content coming out of places like Twitter for a good while, it haven't been, first name buncher numbers types accounts as, you know, prominent as they are. It was blue ticks. It was the President of the United States, you know. But, yeah, I definitely think in terms of, like, you know, tackling some of the, like, mental health concerns that were associated with this story, I think it wasn't necessarily the way to go from the begin with. But definitely saying legislating for hurt feelings is a complete, you know, mockery of what it actually, you know, was about, and is, you know, very dangerous to be trivialising it as such, because there are people that... you know, can have real harm done to them by some of this stuff, and just saying, oh, hurt feelings is just a complete reduction of what some of this actually means to people.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Callum, I'm going to interrupt for a sec, because we have someone has written into the show, which is very exciting.
Yeah, we don't often get that on The Pulse.
Oh, what do you mean? Every day, right? No. I'm just going to read out what this person says, and then we might comment upon it. So they've said... I'm a strong believer that children shouldn't have full access to the internet, but I'm also a believer that on your 18th birthday, a switch doesn't flip that makes you go, I will no longer be triggered by this, specifically in terms of mental health. And like, if you're going to get triggered by it, you shouldn't watch it. And yeah, that's fine when you're in recovery, but when you're in a bad space, many people constantly look to be triggered, and it's easy to do that on the internet. Self-regulation doesn't work for people who are either actively seeking to hurt themselves or to people who don't know what to regulate against. Outside the internet, when something is legal but harmful, we try to get rid of it. So why isn't the same idea applied online?
Yeah,
I just want to say thank you to whoever wrote that in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the big things that came up in the article as well, was that I think there is sort of widespread, with the growth of the internet over certainly the past 10, 20 years, you say, there is sort of a consensus now that regulation is important, needs to be brought in. The issue that's sort of raised in the article is this idea of legal but harmful. So this is whether the government should implement a regulation that doesn't necessarily, to content that doesn't necessarily break the law, but like the sort of listener there said, that is potentially triggering, potentially harmful. And that's actually been taken out of the bill now, which the parents of Molly Russell, who sort of now have their foundation, said was the stuff that Molly Russell would have been looking at online was this legal but harmful content, whether that's, you know, self-harm, eating disorders, this kind of thing. It's not illegal for it to be there, but that is what is, because it's not legal, there's so much more of it, and it's harder for companies to take it down, which I think is the big issue there. So I think that's why sort of campaigning groups have decided that taking that out is such a big step, and why there's such a big argument and debate over it, because I guess that's where most of the harm is being done. And then I guess for the government to try and take that out without anyone noticing is quite a big issue regarding the bill.